The following podcast may contain spoilers, strong language, graphic violence, and nudity. Viewer discretion is advised. I put pants on.
Four guys and a movie. Four guys and a movie. Don't I, Brian Robbins, you're reviewing movies for the show. Four guys and a movie.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Four Guys and a Movie podcast, where friends gather around to watch movies from their past and see how they hold up to their older, more cynical selves. I'm your host today, Rob, and I am joined with my friends and co-hosts,
Brian,
Joey G, back in the LBC.
Wow.
That was a lot.
And, you know, we're back. We're back, everybody.
Yeah.
You haven't bought any of our merch? And I'm
not a goddamn thing.
I'm pissed about it. Goddamn thing. But, you know, you have shown your support. And we just wanted to let you know that, no, ladybugs did not kill us. We can handle most dangerous of danger fields.
It came close, though. Ladybugs. That was rough.
It was rough. But, you know, before we really get into it, I do want to talk a little bit about the state of the podcast, because we have been gone for a long time, and I just kind of want to address everything that's been going on.
Summer break, so.
Yeah, well, you know, it's been a summer break, and to be perfectly honest, it hasn't been any of the movies that we watched, although there have been a few, but it's mostly just, you know, real life. Scheduling has been an absolute bear. You know, just the stress of getting a podcast out every week has kind of had its toll on us in general. So we've made a few changes, but I think, you know, overall the same podcast that you know and love and will buy merch for is going to be coming at you, just in a little bit different format. So from time to time, you may see some of us take a step back to just refresh ourselves. So there'll be maybe more of a rotating cast of characters than you have seen before. And we are moving to a bi-weekly schedule. So we're going to be doing podcasts every 2 weeks rather than every week, just to make things easier for our schedules and just to, you know, keep things fresh, basically. So that's pretty much it, other than y'all need to buy some shirts or something, like mugs. They're not expensive. Come on.
Yeah, like a sticker or something?
Yeah, sticker.
Bathroom gun.
So that is pretty much all I've got.
I mean, today we have a fireplace gun room.
Mm.
But that's
entire fireplace gun room.
A little further on.
Entire.
Actually, I think it's just bad green screen.
Windows 98 screensaver fireplace room. On that note, we do have a guest with us today. We have our dear friend, Carolina. Carolina Will, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, y'all? Pleasure to be here.
Thanks for joining us.
Long time, first time. Long time listener, first time co-host.
First time caller. So thank you for joining us today.
No problem. Thanks for letting me watch this great movie.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime. So Men in Black 3. Who's got the deets on this film that we watched today? Who wants to talk about Men in Black 3?
So this mess came out 2012.
2012.
Yeah, 2012. And like, it's my first time seeing it, honestly. I've never actually... it was out in theaters, and I was like, no, I'm good.
I didn't even know it existed.
Wow. So up until yesterday, I thought I had seen this movie. I was sure I had seen it. I was sure that I had seen it the same way I watch most of my films.
On a toilet?
Nope. Oh. At my parents' house, putting a Lego set together. Mm. But this movie came out in 2012. I was already married and out of the house at this point. So there's no way. I don't think I've seen this movie.
I watched this last night with Brick, and Men in Black 2 was so forgettable that he thought that movie was this movie.
I think that's kind of what happened. I got the two like just melded together. So I may have seen it at some point and just forgotten about it completely.
I never saw this shit. What about you, Will?
I believe I rented it once. There was a 99-cent rental video store right by my house, and even the new releases were 99 cents.
So. Wow. So kids, there was a time where there was an actual building
Uncle
that had
Brian
movies.
Tells a story.
You can go to a building and actually rent these things called tapes, VHS tapes, and then went to DVDs.
in 2012.
Oh, sorry. 2012. You go to this place, you can rent DVDs. DVDs and stuff. Physical copies of movies.
I'm pretty sure they had Redbox in 2012.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, this place is still by my house. I don't know how it keeps running. There's
like by your house now?
No, sorry. In Carolina.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Sorry.
My hometown has one. It's a cafe more than it is a video store now, but they still have movies you can rent.
Like, I mean, that's pretty much what Barnes & Noble is at this point.
True.
It's like, hey, it's a Starbucks. We sell books also.
Here's some magazines.
Yeah. Look, here's some couches to hang out on.
And toys and board games.
If you stay here, they can't bulldoze us.
But yeah, so the 2012 just came out. What else? Everyone saw it. So, I found out that one of the, one thing in particular, this movie had no finished script when they started filming it.
Wait. Let me dust off my shocked face. Right.
But one of the writers, whatever, he was supposed to do the first Men in Black, but instead left to do Spider-Man when that came out in 2002. And then this movie here came out 10 years later. When Amazing Spider-Man came out, and he was going to do Amazing Spider-Man, but he said, no, he signed up for this one instead.
And instead, they got the same person to write the Amazing Spider-Man that they got to write the first Spider-Man, which is why it's the same movie.
Probably. But yeah, it was funny. Anyone know how much it's made? Or what it cost?
How much it cost?
I know, so like...
I appreciate your honesty. Yeah.
A lot of CGI.
Oh, my goodness.
So the price is...
Yeah, but it's not good CGI. No.
And CGI doesn't cost as much in 2012 as it did earlier.
Well, it cost a lot of money, though.
Ooh. Will Smith.
Yeah, Will Smith. Wait,
do you know this also?
I do happen to know.
Oh, my gosh. Such studious numbers we have for this podcast. I'm going to go with $120 million.
Yeah, I'll go with $125.
Joe?
If you add both of those together...
Holy crap.
It would have just exceeded what it cost.
Yeah.
$250?
It's $225.
$220?
Yeah, that's how much it cost to make this fucking movie.
That's like Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith.
It's kind of more than that, though.
I mean, 2012, Josh Brolin wasn't quite...
Wait, I would like to point out that I added $120 and $125 and got $250.
You did.
It's okay.
It's all right, you know.
We let it go.
It's been a whole summer. And I wasn't good at math before.
Yeah, we don't keep you around for your math.
No, that's true. You keep me around because...
We podcast at your house?
Yeah. I feed you.
You want to guess how much it made, Will?
Oh, 300.
I'm going to guess million. 400 million.
630.
Wow.
Okay.
Well done.
So, I mean, I guess that's good.
That's worldwide, but yeah. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, no, that's a good amount. Well, I'm just wondering, like, should it have made that?
Yeah, but it did. So, like,
yeah.
No. I guess we'll find out during the course of this podcast.
Right. We will. Yes. We will. Who wants to open this movie for us?
Well, I would like to tell you who was in this.
Oh. You know, I am dusting off the old brain.
You are.
A little bit. Go ahead and tell us who's in this film, Joe.
You go shake off the rest of that brain dust.
If I shake it off, you mean stuff a Milky Way in my mouth.
Put it back in your pants. Well, no one will see that.
Okay, then.
Franklin,
while he's busy brain dusting his Milky Way. Okay, this movie starred Will Smith as Agent J, Tommy Lee Jones as Agent K, Josh Brolin as Young Agent K, Jermaine Clement
as himself,
Boris the Animal, and a bunch of other people that don't matter.
Just Boris.
Yeah, no one else matters.
I mean,
Emma Thompson was like, hey guys, I'm here.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, Tommy away. Lee Jones was also like, hey guys, I'm here. Give me a paycheck. Yeah. Bye, everybody.
For one day.
Josh Brolin!
Going to eat some pie.
Thanos came in with the time stone and just replaced his ass.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll give him credit. Like, he was Tommy Lee. Like,
yeah.
It was a good Tommy Lee Jones impersonation.
What, Josh Brolin?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was definitely on point. Like, he was probably the best part of the movie, in my opinion.
For sure.
All right. Now let's start this off.
All right.
My opinion, this movie does not start off well. So, it started and just something... I don't know, because I liked the first Men in Black, but Men in Black 2 was... I don't remember anything about, but I remember nothing positive from that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie starts off, and I'm just like, what are we doing here?
I remember boobs from Men in Black 2, and I don't mean that to be crass. I just mean, like, I think There was a joke about boobs in Men in Black 2.
Balchinian.
Well,
I remember that too.
And Johnny Knoxville.
But wasn't the antagonist like an alien that like copied their form from like a...
She was like a sexy alien.
Yeah. Didn't she like make her boobs bigger or something at some point?
I don't remember that.
Maybe that's just
me. I would remember that. Yeah. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
But like the first movie, I haven't seen in...
Watching this one makes me want to watch the first one.
It really does. Like, I haven't seen it in over a decade at least. And I think I need to revisit it.
So, yeah, we start off, we're just some prison guards following a fairly attractive lady going to deliver a cake to somebody.
It's the singer from Pussycat Dolls.
Even before that, like, am I the only one that thought the Columbia, like, logo just stayed on the screen too long?
I wasn't even watching the screen when that was on.
I was running down a flight of stairs. I don't know.
Oh. All right. Yeah. Well, I don't have madcap sitcom lifestyles like you guys do. So I was just sitting here on my couch watching
the music
it.
And the logos were on the screen for a long time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like I just felt bored watching just the intro with the music and stuff. It was Danny Elfman doing the music, I assume.
Probably. I believe so, yeah.
And yeah. I was just like...
There were some sweet guitar riffs, though, in his opening credits.
Yeah, like, it's the music wasn't necessarily bad, but just with the visuals, I was just like, I'm already bored.
Yeah.
With what's happening here. Mm-hmm. And then we get to the prison.
Yeah, and then...
the raft.
We meet Boris the Animal.
You mean Jermaine.
Jermaine. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know what this is, but I don't like it. Yeah, like, when you turn around...
They pull the file in a cake bit. To break someone out of prison, but instead of being a file, it was an alien in a cake.
Yeah,
like that worked. Like
it lives in his hand.
Yeah, like
it was kind of like a little face hugger without a tail, basically.
Yeah,
yeah, that shot like spikes.
Yeah. Yes. So this was Jermaine's like first big thing after Concords, right?
This
was
is
it? The first thing.
I'm not
sure. This is the first thing I remember him being. In
wasn't
after
he
that.
In?
He's been in a bunch of stuff.
The Dinner for Idiots? No.
Okay.
Was that the same time too, or
that must have been around the same time? But I don't think that was nearly
Dinner
as
for
big.
Idiots? It was the one, the Steve Carell or
Galifianakis.
Yeah.
Some
like Rudd. Supper for Schmucks or something.
Yeah,
like
that. That,
yeah, that's Dinner for Schmucks. I think is what it was. Yeah. And
they missed out on some serious alliteration opportunities.
That was also terrible. But yeah, but I think this was like his big thing, like his breakout, like. Oh, he's in a Men in Black movie. Like, oh, he's going to be a household name now.
Like, for doing the comedy, quotation mark stuff that he's been doing, this is, like, way different from his other things. So, yeah, I guess, like...
And Brett's just like, could you guys please make another Lord of the Rings movie?
Yeah, looking at his filmography now, it seems like it was The Dinner for Schmucks, a voice in the Rio animated movie, and then Men in Black 3 was, like, the first big thing.
Rio doesn't even...
I've never seen it either.
So,
go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, basically, this bug kills some guards and then climbs in his hand, and I'm like, I don't know. I was not enthused. It was like the scene in Space Ghost where the guy's like torturing him, and he's just thinking, he's just like, man, my heart is not into this.
Well, they tried to make it like a Hannibal Lecter reveal and like turn him around, and it's like. We don't know anything about this guy. Like, also, he's weird looking. Like,
also, that's Jermaine.
Yeah, exactly.
you could put all the dumb makeup on him you want. You can give him little Dr. Octopus goggles if you want to. It's still Jermaine.
Well, like, I was good with the makeup and shit, but the minute he spoke, I was like, fuck. Like,
yeah. Wasn't it? Because it was Rick Baker doing the makeup.
Yeah.
Who's like world renowned for his makeup skills. And the makeup looked good.
Yeah.
But it's still Jermaine.
The minute he spoke, I was like, oh, man.
It's like, yes, actually. And I'm sorry in advance.
Horrible. I think what it is, I don't remember at all anything about the villain of Men in Black 2. I just remember in one.
She had boobs.
You know.
D'Onofrio.
Yeah. D'Onofrio, you know, is wearing the Edgar suit.
Yeah.
There was always the sense of like something cool is going to come of this. Mm-hmm. At the end, there's a pretty good payoff.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, there was some suspense about this character with like this Boris over here. I'm like, I don't care about this guy.
Yeah,
and, right. Like,
I will say the his finger vagina hand.
Yep.
Was a little disturbing to me
because you wish you had one.
No, that looked
it looked cool, but it's just like he's just firing some spinities.
Yeah,
Like if it gave him more powers or
That's all he does the whole movie is just shoot spines.
Yeah, like if he was made of smaller monsters, like he could just like come apart. Like even if they set it up like he could have escaped at any time because he was just made of all these spider monsters.
Or just give some explanation for what a Boglodyte is and what their abilities are.
Well, it's a Boglin that has grown legs.
Made with the troglodyte.
And was in Flight of the Conchords for a few years. Mm-hmm. And then every time he talks, you're sure he's going to start smiling. Because it sounds like he knows that it's a big joke.
That was one thing about this movie. Like, how could anyone take the filming of this seriously? Like, I don't
think they did.
For example, fast forward, like, he breaks out of his prison, whatever. And we see HJK, they're doing a cleanup job, you know, on the street, whatever. But they're about to do a eulogy for Zed. Zed has passed. And at the eulogy...
Why did they just kill Zed off first? Because the actor died. That's when he was going crazy. Yeah, all right, never mind. Answer that question.
There was no way you were getting Rip Torn to cooperate on this production.
Supposedly he was in the movie. Mm-hmm. He was one of the aliens in some scene with like a ton of makeup on, mm-hmm. but they couldn't have him be on it because he wasn't supposed to be on screen.
Yeah,
so they had to. Yeah. They didn't know when he had to go back to court. So, but when Agent O was giving her talk about Zed, she literally just makes dolphin noises for like a good too long.
Yeah. It was like one of those ones where you're like, oh, Emma Thompson's here. You're like, oh, Emma Thompson, stop.
Yeah, it was like 30 seconds, 40 seconds too long.
I'm just like, this is a movie, huh?
Yeah, and I'm like, how could they have had a straight face?
This is in theaters.
Yeah, like it's just so painful.
Well, I mean, the minute the pre-minions showed up, like those little skinny alien things.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they were playing the bagpipes.
Yeah, I'm just like.
They were literally just like, remember us?
Yeah. Speaking of remember us, we'll get to that in a few minutes.
So, just the one other thing with this guy's escape, though, is like, he blasts a hole in the wall of a moon base, which decompresses and sucks all the guards out.
Mm-hmm.
First off, he gets this big ass gun, like this, like BFG 9000 in this prison armory, where it's like, why is that even here?
Yeah, no idea.
If you've put the prison on the moon, why do you have guns there? I don't know. And why are they that easily to access? But anyway, regardless of that, he just jumps out and he's in space. Like they built this thing right by the Apollo landing.
Joe, on the moon. Yeah. Nerds have their pants pulled down and they're spanked with
Yeah, rocks. Indeed.
It's a quad laser.
Jumping is impossible.
There was a quad laser.
They make it want to be some kind of plot twist that, like, you think this is a regular prison, but it's on the moon.
It's a moon prison.
Lunar prison. You're like, how did he get back to Earth? The movie's like, shh.
How is he breathing?
Shh. Well, I gave him that one because he's a fucking alien. Like,
I guess.
It's Shatterstar. He's just like, I'm an alien. I'm better than you in every way.
It's like presumably there's oxygen in his cell. Yeah, like,
I probably saw that dipple too.
Otherwise, the decompression wouldn't happen. Like, what are we talking? What's happening?
Yeah. So now we're this funeral. There's like a scene where J and K are cleaning up after a crashed satellite, which comes back into play later. Then we do the funeral. It's not funny at all. And you see this alien bad guy here, Boris. He goes and he gets a device from this other guy at a tech store.
Yeah, one of the prisoner's sons.
Yeah.
One of the prisoners from the prison colony he was on had made time travel, and his son has the device. Like,
yeah. That was his name, Obadiah. I forgot what his son's name is.
Obadiah Stain.
Yep. Obadiah Price.
Yeah, not Stain. That's Iron Man.
I know.
Don't get your nerd on.
That's the dude. The artist formerly known as the dude, currently known as Obadiah Stain.
Yeah, I forget why, but we're going to a Chinese restaurant to investigate something. There were worms in the food. That's it.
Yeah, there was an outbreak of worms and.
To have a very over the top Chinese stereotype as well.
Yeah.
But that was part of the bit. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get that.
And then, so after you deal with the over the top Chinese stereotype, he gets to take you to the back room to show you his really budget CGI.
Yeah. CGI was just not, it was like,
it was like Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah, it was, wasn't good. Like,
no. And
I mean, I'm sure it really, it wasn't that good in the first one, but the first one was like, that was in the 90s, right?
That was 15 years
before this. Yeah, practical effects.
It was 02.
Yeah, 02? Yep. And I mean, I think they could argue that that was a style choice they were going for with that CGI, but like, it was not good.
So that's weird. So it was 02, but and it was 2012, but it's 14 years. Why?
Whatever.
Why?
Whatever.
So arbitrary, though.
Whatever. Well, I think they probably want to line it up with the moon landing. I don't know. I just made that up.
That doesn't track.
Wait. You said Men in Black 2002?
Yeah.
I thought it was before that.
Yeah, 02.
I think the second one was
02. Oh, second one was 02? Yeah.
Well, if the guy who was supposed to write Men in Black left for Spider-Man, I guess that would track. Spider-Man came out in 2001?
Yeah, I don't know. From what I...
97.
First Men
in Black. First Men in Black was 97?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Because I remember the second one, I think, got heavily cut down because it had a lot of scenes involving, like, the Twin Towers or something.
Second Men in Black did?
Yeah, I think, if I remember right, that was a plot point that they then cut out.
Yeah, well, that was
a whole thing. Because the movie was, like, it was like 70 minutes long or something.
They changed the end to be the Freedom Tower.
I know that was the whole thing with Spider-Man, too, because even in the trailer, it was like...
Yeah, he had the helicopter
trapped in the towers.
Yep. Whoop. All right. So either way, we're like, you look at the CGI and you're like, oh my God, this is kind of embarrassing.
Yeah. I mean, I know we compare everything to Jurassic Park. We compare everything to Jurassic Park, so I'm not going to do that this time. 2012, 5 years prior, Transformers came out.
Yeah.
And as much of a dumpster fire that movie was, the CG was at least like...
The objects looked like they were there.
Yeah, the regardless CG was on point.
Of what you think of the art direction, like...
Or lack thereof.
Or lack thereof, yeah. At least the... Like, they looked like they were there.
Weren't the budgets almost the same, too?
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Probably, though. That seems like... That's a lot of money.
Yeah, $225 million is a lot of fucking money.
Yeah. Like, the more I'm thinking about it, the more angry I'm getting.
Yeah, it's a lot of fucking money.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was pretty much for, like, Kong, which was twice the length of this movie.
Yeah, that's like a Peter Jackson. Like, he had already done Lord of the Rings at this point. He's like, he had already earned his credit. Like, I can make these movies. But, like, even with two Men in Black movies under their belt, like, that's still a huge budget.
Yeah.
Well, again, remember, the movie was started without a completed script.
Yep.
And finished without a completed script.
And essentially, like, they find out that they're... this guy's got, like, smuggling aliens, and he's serving them as food. And then they go back out, and then they talk for a little while in the restaurant while, then they notice that there's some alien goons descending on them. And a fight breaks out. And this, apparently in the $225 million they didn't spend on a fight coordinator, because this fight is just, like,
Can we just talk about how they're just indiscriminately killing everything?
Yeah.
I was like... We did Dread, and there was less, like,
not like maiming, like...
No, they disintegrate these people. There's nothing left. There's not even anything left to, like... You couldn't even bring a cup of them to stand trial. Yeah.
No question.
You'd have to wring out the carpet to
get them.
But, like, it wasn't human beings, and it wasn't red blood, so it doesn't fuck with the ratings.
Yeah, but, I mean, like... Even just in the context of a movie, it's like...
They torture the people that they're questioning.
I remember Tony Shalhoub shooting that dude in the head 20 times.
Multiple times.
And like...
He's like, wipe.
There's one pretty brutal part in the scene, though, where Kay just caves a guy's head in with a frying pan.
Oh, my God.
Ugh.
Literally just flattens his head. And like, oh, he's an alien, you know.
Yeah, like...
No blood.
He's a Mexican. It's funny.
But then Jay gets into a fight with this giant fish monster thing where he rips out an organ from it.
Terrible CGI.
Yeah.
Shows his hand in there. It's like not even.
So this fish is about to like quint him.
Yep.
For lack of a better term, I guess. And he holds like a serving tray.
Like an aluminum
between
serving
tray. Legs. Between his lay. Good knee. Stop. Stop drinking margaritas.
Let's go. Let's continue.
And so the fish monster, like, is chomping down on it, and it's totally saving him somehow. Mm-hmm. Like, it's getting caught between his teeth, and I'm like,
that tray's no joke.
I mean, I guess. Yep. I guess.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if it can't handle that aluminum tray, it's when it bites Will Smith, it's probably not going to be able to handle him either.
That's true. All those thetans.
Mm-hmm. So, he essentially kills it somehow. He just looks down and he's like, oh, I'm going to rip this thing off of you, and it dies.
Yeah, he just like reaches in and pulls out his guts or something. I'm like,
and that's a common theme in these movies of just these like lackadaisical fights where they never really seem like they're all that concerned. Like Will Smith sometimes will go like, oh, damn. But like, you know, other than that, like they're just sort of stone faced, like, oh, take that, you're dead, okay.
Well, is it, and again, going back to Transformers, where it's like everything is just made out of jello. Like,
yeah,
just kill it. That's fine. You shoot it and it's dead. That's how that works, right?
Meanwhile, we cut to the roof where Kay has a run-in with Boris the Animal. And, you know, Jay walks in right at the perfect time to stop Boris from shooting Kay with some darts. And they get off the roof with the door to the... like roof access stairway.
Yeah.
And I hate this shit so much. I just don't understand why someone's like, all right, well, they got to fall down the alley. So door?
Sure.
Door saves them somehow. They held the door up. It broke their fall.
Yeah.
The stuntman.
Yeah.
Stuntman's fall. A huge heavy door would obviously break their fall.
Yeah. One part parachute, one part like,
you've got Will Smith and an octogenarian, and obviously they're fine.
Yeah. All you need. And it's just one of those where I'm already having trouble getting into this movie, and that I was like, oh no.
Like, I would have preferred, and it's just me being whatever, but if just Kay just pulled out a little gun and fired goo on the ground and landed on it, and then the goo went away.
Yeah, they're the men in black. Why don't they have gadgets?
Yeah, like that
should have been up. Rocket boots. You know,
yeah, anything. You spent all this money on this half-ass CGI. Yeah. Give us some half-ass CGI.
A gun that lets you like do like a Spider-Man swing, anything.
Something. Yeah.
Fucking call the car and it flies over there and just picks them up or something.
Just
have
them land in
the
trash.
Ford Taurus.
Yeah, oh. Ford Taurus.
Oh, this movie's brought to you by Ford.
Yeah, but like, not even good Ford. Like, Mustangs were out at this point already. Like,
I think when this came out, they had re-released the Ford Taurus in a new body style.
But and it's I a think Taurus.
I know, but the new Taurus actually is not that bad. But I think this is when the first iteration of the new body style, so they're trying to put it out there. I think that's when
I get that, but they went from rocket car to new Taurus, not that bad.
Yeah, like the first movie is your typical G-Man, like
just it's like
random black car.
This
that
big
you don't know the
square
makeup.
Car.
Look, yeah. $225 million had to get paid for somehow.
Yeah. So through Ford, through Transformers, through Ford, through the government.
Yeah.
We can trace it back to the bailout.
Yeah, there you go.
You get this other weird go-nowhere scene that happens now where they're back in the restaurant and there's like a cleanup team there and Jay and Kay are arguing where Kay's like, stop asking me about stuff that, you know, you don't want to know the answer to.
And the audience doesn't care about.
Yeah. And like, yeah, I'm like, I don't know about any of this stuff now. And then Kay's like suspending Jay and Jay's like, you don't have the authority to do that. And I'm like, I don't know the hierarchy of your organization. Does he have the authority to do it? Does he not?
Yeah. He's like, then, we're partners. We're on the same pay grade. I'm like, are you? Like, this dude's been in the MIB for however.
It seems like the dynamics have not changed since the first movie where he was like the new young kid.
Yeah. It's like, they're not on even ground at all. It's like, arr.
So
it was, it was a very forced scene, Joe. It was like,
it was,
where are these emotions coming from that have never been there before? Like, what's up? Like,
so Kay storms out. Jay goes back to MIB headquarters, looks at the, you know, tries to look up some files on, you know, what happened here, finds out about the Boglodytes and the Arknet defense, and that Kay shot Boris the Animal's arm off on Cape Canaveral at this date in 1969. And then, like, suddenly the access to the files restricted.
Because Agent O was watching him, and she cuts it off.
And then, that kind of goes nowhere. And then you go, you know, cuts back to, like, Jay just goes home and plays PlayStation.
Wait. Jay goes home and plays PlayStation. with his gigantic picture of Frank the Pug.
Yeah. R.I.P. Frank.
It looks like a Biggie Smalls poster in the bed.
Yeah. Over his bed, too, Lev.
It legit looks like the Biggie poster in Luke Cage.
It's like no crown.
No crown, that's true. Like they should have had a crown.
Couldn't get the actor back, so it's like, let's not recast it. Just Frankenstein.
Yeah. They should have had Robert Smigel.
Well, I mean, it's been 14 years. That dog ain't around.
But 14 years, though? Mm-hmm. Did you see the posters in the 60s? They spent a long-ass time pointing it out to you.
I didn't pay attention to a lot of this movie.
That's okay. So when Will Smith gets pulled over by the cops, there's a poster in the background for circus acts.
Yeah, including the Magnificent Guy or whatever.
And the Talking Pug.
Oh, you know what? That is right.
Because he's an alien. He's not actually a dog. So he could live an indeterminate amount of time. But we're to presume that he is at this point deceased.
Couldn't make it to 2012. Yeah.
No, definitely not.
So either way, Kay's like...
It was a vicious battle with the Taco Bell dog.
Kay calls Jay, and they talk for a little bit. Jay's like, yo, just tell me what's going on. Kay's like, no.
No. I'm old and crotchety. No.
Not to be insensitive.
He's already got the Dorito.
This is the gayest thing I've seen in a long time.
Now. People have feelings for real. It's okay.
No, I get that, but like, Will Smith was crying while he's talking to Tommy Lee Jones in this scene.
Because like this dude he's been with for 14 years.
Yeah.
His partner.
Partner.
Whatever. All of a sudden is acting so out of character, and he won't let him in until to tell him why. Like, yeah, you're like, yo, what's going on? Why? Why I gotta be this way? I thought we was friends.
You guys,
what happened?
I've known you guys way longer than 14 years. You stopped talking to me all the time. I don't ever cry about it. Okay, I do. But I don't ever cry like that about it.
Like, Rob, you're suspended. You go away. You just don't ask me shit you don't want to know the answers to. You go away, Rob.
2 weeks. 4 weeks.
Then Rob's like, I'm just going to stay here and edit the podcast. Yeah, that's right. Keep talking to the microphone.
That's right. I hold the power here. My Doritos. You don't tell me when to shut up.
So either way, Kay's like, yeah, I'm going to go get a gun from my secret armory behind my fireplace.
And Kurt Cobain myself.
Mm-hmm. So fucking, I don't get, in all these movies, they always have tons of guns. Like, they always have an armory somewhere.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they never have a backup piece. They always just have their one piece they always lose.
Because it fires on magic. They don't really need a backup piece. It's not
They lose their primary weapon all the time. Like every fight they lose it.
Their secondary weapon is their thumbs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, which are actually quite effective. But, all right, so then Kay sits down. You're like, what's going on here? And he just disappears. And you're like, movie, what are we doing?
Well, like you see Boris go to see Obadiah's son, like,
yeah.
I need your time travel device.
You see that, but it was a little while
ago. It was a while ago, yeah.
Well, he says the device. He doesn't say time travel yet.
Okay.
So, and then, yeah, Jay goes to work the next day, and suddenly he's all, like, sick and weird.
Needs chocolate milk.
Yeah, he needs his chocolate milk.
Yeah, because when Kay disappears, it shows Jay in his, like, he's, like, having this moment where he's, like, looking out the window, all sad, because like, it's all raining and shit.
Do you remember, so, for those of you that saw The Last Jedi, you remember the scene where Luke dies, and then Leia's there, and she feels it?
That's literally it's what happens.
Exactly
it's
that.
That's what happens. Yeah. And the next day, and it shows his apartment changes. It goes from the fireplace to a living room to where there's a family in it. And next day, Jay goes to Kay's apartment. He's like, where's Kay? Some lady with a kid. And he's like, where's Kay? She's like, what? He goes, is that chocolate milk? And just takes it from her and drinks it.
Yeah.
It's just so random.
Like candy from a baby.
Sorry, I don't know what's up, but I just need to call chocolate milk.
I'm like that sometimes, though.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm. And I was not prepared for what happened next. As he shows back up to Men in Black headquarters, fucking Will Arnett pops out of nowhere.
I know, right?
Oh, he was only in that one scene, and
you're
too.
Like, get the hell out of here, Will Arnett.
There's a lot of names in this movie, like on the IMDb list, whatever. that like they only in for
do not matter. Yeah,
2 seconds. Some of them are just in the background.
They're just blinds. Like, look, it's that guy.
Yeah,
and now he's gone.
Remember that guy? He was in that show.
All right, so now nobody knows.
But yet, no Brett.
I know, right? Where was Brett?
Crying at home.
I bet Jermaine was like, listen, this is my time. This is my time now.
Brett was actually the mocap actor for the thing that lived in his hand.
That would be funny. That would be amazing, actually.
No, that would be the saddest thing I've ever heard.
You see on set photos, like, it would be
amazing how sad it is.
Yeah. You complete me.
It would be Andy Serkis doing the mocap, and he'd be talking to Jermaine on set like, hey, how's Brett doing? And Jermaine's like, I don't know.
So, yeah, nobody knows where Kay is. Jay describes him as a surly Elvis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we find out that from Agent O that Kay is dead, and that Boris escaped that day at Cape Canaveral and killed Agent Kay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Jay's like, oh, I need some chocolate milk. And suddenly O's like, oh, my God, time travel, temporal displacement.
To which Jay says, even though I've been working in this supernatural crazy organization for 14 years, there is no such thing as time travel.
It can't be true.
Can't be true. I've seen it all.
Well, now, he does say, because I'm a senior agent, if there was such a thing, you would have told me about it by now, right? She's like, nah.
As a senior agent, he should know better.
Yeah. She's like, nah.
Well, you got to also figure, just at this point, you have to assume they've neuralized shit out of you by now.
Oh, yeah.
I guess, like,
yeah.
You probably get neuralized all the time.
See, I'd watch a Men in Black 4, right? But, like, instead of being this story, it's about the one person who's never been neuralized,
mm-hmm.
and is like on the run from Men in Black. Mm. Like the story is about how that person knows too much and is being hunted down. So it's like not a comedy. It's like.
Would you still watch it if it was starring Jaden Smith?
No.
So
that's also, right. For just $20, you too can have us watch After Earth.
But did I see that?
Rob,
no, I didn't see that one. I did not see that one. I saw
Joe. I want the money at this Karate point.
Kid. No, I want the money too. But we could do better than After Earth.
I did see Karate Kid on the plane.
We've already done Battlefield.
Could at least do The Last Airbender.
No,
what are you talking about?
I'm joking, dude. What?
You can't joke about that.
I couldn't make it to the second time they said "ong," and I said, "I'm out."
I made it a half hour into the Riff Tracks version.
I couldn't start.
A half hour into the Riff Tracks version, Joe.
All right.
Sorry, it's not this movie. Sorry.
So anyway, so the Boglodytes are invading now. There's no Arknet to stop them. So Jay's like, okay, now I got to go back in time to stop this from happening. And now I hit a new low because I'm like, God damn it, it's a time travel movie.
Yeah, like, yep. Those episodes of Star Trek always bothered me. Any episode that has time travel, like, except for Doctor Who.
I mean, Doctor Who still gets me. Like, that's probably why I don't watch Doctor Who. I hate things with time travel. I don't want it in my stories.
Because, like, with Doctor Who, at least, they basically just flat out say, like, something is just supposed to happen that you can't change them. And so, they tell you, like, let your brain let it go.
Yes.
Like, I know I have a magic box that can do damn near everything, but for this issue of this episode, just let it go. Just let it go. But yeah, like, time travel, just usually it's just fucked up.
All right, so because it's a time jump, you have to jump off a building to let it, so it'll work.
Yep, that makes sense.
Yeah,
I mean, he said it was about going fast enough to generate the magical green energy.
Sure. Gigawatts.
Sure.
He says like the magical green liquid.
Yeah, that guy doesn't even know what he's talking about.
Yeah. 88 miles per hour.
Yeah.
Until you get enough power to travel through time. And then you hover over the ground for some reason.
I don't know.
You time jump to some bad special effects.
Yeah.
Really bad.
Yeah. You like literally it's the friggin' Back to the Future ride at Universal Studios. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's dinosaur times. Ooh, Tyrannosaurus. Yep. There it is.
If he's going random back to the 60s. Why does it start with
dinosaurs?
Dinosaurs?
Shouldn't it go like through the 90s and the 80s and the 70s.
Oh, because you can't actually go back in time. You have to go forward until
That's how it works. Like, there's a point, I don't know if it's this or at the end, where he's jumping and there's like biplanes dogfighting. Yeah. And I'm like, that's never happened in New York.
Right. Like,
well, King Kong.
There was no King Kong, though. They were fighting each other.
They were fighting over King Kong's body.
You could have at least had King Kong in there fighting. That would have been an awesome little, that would have fit into the Men in Black universe.
Yeah.
I mean, but Joe,
even if it was like a big alien monkey or something,
you know, maybe everyone's been neuralized and don't remember it.
I guess. Yeah.
Sure.
I'm telling you, the one guy who's never been neuralized and has been in the Men in Black,
he's an insane. He's the Joker. Yeah. He's like, Joaquin Phoenix as.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, that's crazy enough. Joaquin Phoenix as George Washington as the Joker.
I'd watch that.
It's happening.
Yeah.
He's the next Joker.
You're the film.
Yeah, he's George Washington.
I mean, Carver.
I mean, have you seen Joaquin Phoenix?
Yeah.
Like, imagine, okay, so the picture that I saw was Joaquin Phoenix basically dressed up like Heath Ledger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's got like a mullet, long hair.
Yeah. But it's Joaquin Phoenix.
Yes.
So he just looks like George Washington as the Joker. He looks like Ben Franklin from The Office in a Heath Ledger Joker outfit.
So, like, before Will jumps off the building, he's like, hey, how
come... I thought you were talking about
him. I'm sorry, before Jay.
Not going well.
Yeah.
Before Jay jumps off the building, he's like, how come I'm the only one who remembers what the hell the other past was like? And the guy, he looked like this like hippie, like not hippie, but like this like kind of woo dude kind of
stoner,
stoner kind of guy. He's like, oh man, that means you were there. Oh, you're gonna tell me all about it when you get back. Bye. And then like
walks
away. Like,
it's the power of love.
So my brain immediately was like, okay, I know what happens now.
Yeah. And then because
it's not subtle.
So yeah, he's back in 1969 now. He immediately just steals a car.
There are no wrong answers in there, Brian.
Yeah, you did very good on the candy selection.
I was going to get all Crackle bars, but, you know, I
walked out.
You would not have walked out, you pig.
I would have dumped it over your head, though.
That's fine. I would have eaten it.
Yeah. So
I was going to eat them.
So he's in his suit, you know, and he's got his big-ass blue. That was a Cadillac or something? I don't know what that was.
Uh-huh.
But
a square mobile.
Giant, like, six-ton metal rectangle.
Yeah.
Boris the Animal, however, is going full Easy Rider over here. He's got his alien motorcycle.
Not gonna lie, his bike's kind of dope.
Yeah. It was pretty cool looking.
Yeah.
It was all CGI every time it was on screen.
Well, yeah.
But like,
it matched his aesthetic well.
Yeah.
And now we get the, you know, we deal with the question of, well, it's 1969 and Will Smith's black.
Yep.
How's this going to work?
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it works just about how you think it would.
Yeah. Yep. They force feed us some racism.
Yep. Like, where'd you get that suit? Where'd you get that car? He's like, oh, same place I got this neuralizer. Get the fuck out of here.
He was like, just because I have this car doesn't mean I stole it because I'm black. And I'm like, well, you did steal the car.
I think that was might have been the first legitimate chuckle the movie got out of me. It was like, well, I did steal this one.
Not because I'm black, though. So yeah. I had to take it. Like.
And I did actually, I think the laugh started now. I like also when he pulls up to Coney Island and like rather than try to park that like 30-foot long car, he's just like on the curb. It's like, leaving this here. Bye-bye. And yeah, then there's the amazing Roman or Roman the Magnificent. I forget what he was.
Roman the
Fabulous.
Yeah. Fabulous. Yeah.
I don't know what his shtick was.
He's just fabulous.
Oh, he's not on the screen long enough for it to matter.
Yes. Yeah. Like,
he had a big hit.
Yeah. He's got a big hit. He's got to die.
Yep.
he's not white or brown. He's got to die.
It's funny how, like, with Men in Black, at least for this movie, they always have to show you how the alien is different than, like, they have to always show you before the thing happens. They show you, like, what, like, so when they there's a scene with the guy's head, this is like a bowling ball, whatever. This guy has a big giant hat on, so he takes the hat off, like, oh, his head's huge. Like, oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's like the Scooby-Doo reveal before they take him out. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, he could have, like, we don't need it beforehand. He just will tell later. Like.
But here, this is where he's, Will Smith is apprehended by Agent K, correct? Mm-hmm.
The animal kills Roman the Fabulous.
Right.
He's too late. Jay's too late. He's about to shoot. What's his name? The animal?
Boris.
He's about to shoot.
It's just Boris.
Yeah, just Boris. He's about to shoot just Boris. Just Boris. And then he gets a Men in Black gun stuck to his temple, and it's Josh Brolin.
Don't tase me, bro.
Josh Brolin, young but, K.
Yeah, I know. I literally, at this point, because I had never seen the movie before or knew nothing about it, I yelled, "You got Josh Brolin!"
Like, I wish that, one, Boris's abilities were better than they showed. Because all they ever show, like Joe said before, is just his spiky hands shooting spiky shit.
Like I'm saying, and generic, like he could cling to things and jump high.
Yeah,
like,
he should be made out of spiders.
Yeah.
And then I also wish, because every time someone says Boris Animal, he goes, "It's just Boris." I wish that there was some start for that, like where, like the why he gets so angry when they say Boris Animal.
Especially, but, you travel back to the beginning of his plot arc, so right? Why not put it in there?
And just give us something like what? Mm-hmm. It's just Boris. Why he gets so mad when someone says Boris the Animal? Like why is he called the Animal? Like what?
Yeah.
Like show us where that came about. But they never do. There's no there's no reason for it to be there.
No, he's just generic bad guy trope.
Especially since like that plays a part in the end of the movie. You would think that they would like kind of put in like why it makes him so mad, why it does what it does at the end.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Hey McFly, what are you, chicken?
Yeah, you know, like,
yeah.
But no, maybe there was, they cut it out. Maybe it was in the first script that wasn't finished. Like, I don't know.
Not to compare this to Back to the Future at all.
So yeah, Will Smith wakes up in the old Men in Black headquarters.
And I do like that all the aliens in the Men in Black headquarters are like old fashioned sci-fi, like 60s aliens.
Yeah, like
I thought that was
pretty cool. That part was pretty cool. And there's a really bad like the Viagrins or something like that.
Yeah.
It was really not a good joke.
And Jay trying to like make up all these lies to Kay about why he was there, and it's just not funny. And
you meet like a young Agent O.
Played by, what's her name?
Alice Eve.
Okay. So that is pretty much the biggest trick in this movie, that they're trying to convince us that she became Emma Thompson.
Yeah, that was a weird contrast, because Josh Brolin and Tommy Lee Jones are pretty interchangeable. Like, I'd buy that, no problem.
Yeah, you could definitely turn into that. Like, you know, you just see his face melting over time.
Yeah, you... Like, when you see this woman, you should be able to see, like, how she could be Emma Thompson.
Right.
And I don't see it at all.
You just see, like, oh, it's a super hot blonde.
That's British woman, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they're British, obviously. That tracks, right?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he's just lying about, you know, he doesn't want to reveal that he's from the future. Especially because, like, later on, he just tells him the truth. He's like, yeah, I'm from the future. I'm here to save you. And he's just like, okay. So, like, why are we lying this whole time?
Well, to not interfere with future events, I guess.
Obadiah's son guy was like, "Don't whatever you do, don't interact with Kay."
Yeah,
like first thing that happens when he gets to there,
don't
like,
talk to him or whatever.
I mean, there would be no movie.
Yeah, so. They already touched each other, so we know like time cop rules are off the table. Right. So
they'll both start melting.
Yeah, I mean at that point, fuck it, just spill the beans. And then. Yeah, so now they're like, all right, well, what are we going to do now? Go to the bowling alley, I guess.
Well, first they want to put him in that old-ass neuralizer.
Yeah, the giant neuralizer.
That definitely gave him some kind of cancer.
It's just a freaking centrifuge.
Well, it just spun you around until all the blood left your head.
Yeah.
You passed out.
It's like... a neuralizer. Mm-hmm. It just gives you cancer and brain damage. And you forget.
Like, all the blood gets pushed out of your head, and then the crazy lights give you a seizure.
Right.
Jay gets back to the future, and his doctor's like, where'd all this cancer come from?
Sir, you have all the cancer. What do you mean, all the cancer in where? Just all of it.
Just everywhere.
Just all of it. You have it all.
All right. So, yeah. So now they're like, we got to go to this bowling alley because we have like a pack of matches from there. And the bowling alley, of course, has the alien with the detachable head.
Right. Yeah. It's, you know, obviously it befits the situation.
Bowling. Yep.
Yeah. We have time to throw a few balls down the
alley. Which, again, so they torture the people they question.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This wasn't even the first torture scene in this.
No.
Earlier, Kay's like beating the shit out of a guy with a... The Chinese guy with some other animal.
Like little, yeah. This little, this little spike creature.
Yeah.
Thing. The worst part about that scene is they gave the creature facial expressions.
Yeah.
And it was visibly troubled that it was being used.
It did nothing to deserve that. It was just like sleeping happily on a bed of lettuce. All right, so... This scene, even though it tried not to be funny, it did get a laugh out of me when he, the part where he went to bowl him again and he accidentally dropped him.
Yeah, that was kind of funny.
Yeah. Did he accidentally drop? I thought he did that on purpose.
Accidentally in quotes.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah. So they find out about the factory. And they find a dead body. Where did they find that? Like, that was in the bowling alley? Or?
Yeah, the guy that they were going to go talk to.
Yeah, that's it. He was already killed. Yeah. But now they find out about the factory. And it's Andy Warhol time, who, of course, was a Men in Black agent.
I kind of like to see, because I don't know much about Warhol. Like, I never really, like, kid learned or anything about the shit. But I've seen some of the stuff, and it, to me, it's like, oh, it's just this fucking thing.
It looks like, all right, I may get flack for this, but it looks like college student. Like, it looks like your term project.
Yeah, like it doesn't look like anything... Like, wild to me. And I like how it's Bill Hader is playing him.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, take a picture of a fucking hamburger.
Say it's transcendent. I don't know.
I gotta pretend this is something. Like, it's just nothing. Like, so I laughed at that.
All right, we find out about this guy, Griffin.
Apparently, all the models are aliens.
Yes, like all supermodels are aliens.
From a planet...
Glamoria.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
They're stretching those alien jokes.
Yeah.
This was the part of the script that was not written.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It had to be. Like,
it's just...
I was going to try and see which parts I felt were and I was like, nah, it's just...
It says, most of the movie.
Yeah. It just says aliens in crayon.
The script could have been, we wanted to deal with the moon landing at the end. The moon launch at the end. Like,
time travel and...
There's your script. Go.
It's step one, collect underpants.
It's kind of how I...
Step two.
It's like how I run my D&D game. Like, I have a beginning and I have an end, and I usually just the middle. Like, I'll figure it out as we go.
You should not make sense. Say that out loud.
Well, no, because, like, but at least, Joe, like, you leave room for player interaction to devise the stuff that happened in your thing.
Your first mistake.
Well, in fairness, because I can't control where my protagonists go and what they do. Right. I kind of have to be a little more flexible.
So, yeah, like...
Just kill them all.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he'll have one idea for something, but, like, we'll come up with something better. He's like, that is better. I'll just change this around to make it fit. That makes more sense story-wise. Like, but that's we appreciate that. Mm-hmm.
The sign of a good DM. Mm. Not that I would know.
I'm about to make the sign for a good BM.
Oh, all over my chairs. Time.
Yeah. So we meet this guy, Griffin, who apparently Boris is after. Because he's got something that'll make, like, an ArcNet defense. They don't tell you really what it is besides the fact that it's just a MacGuffin that'll save the world. And apparently it's autism. So this character, he can see all the universes at once, I guess.
Supposedly he's a fifth dimensional creature. So he perceives lower dimensions like they're nothing. But he has, part of his being is still in this dimension.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's like we see a stack of paper, but there's still, like, there's lines on the paper is one dimension, and then the paper itself is two dimensions. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's, like, we see all these dimensions around us, but, like, this is two ones away from us. So it sees, like, we're nothing to it. So it sees all the iterations of time backwards and forwards because it's happening all at the same time.
Any possible outcome, he knows what's going to happen.
On the moon, we have five dimensions.
5,000.
5,000. That's funny. I only see two. Well, that sounds like a personal problem. I don't know why the Moonanites have come up twice this episode.
Because the moon base.
Yeah.
It's a moon record.
And I'd rather be watching that 15-minute episode of Aqua Teen.
Only from those seasons, though. The last seasons are not so much. Yeah,
I don't know. I think that's the only season I've seen. Anyway, all right, so we got this guy, and he's babbling about all the different possibilities of how Boris is going to attack. And Boris just comes in and, like, lackadaisically shoots some spines. And Boris's plan for everything is, I'm going to shoot some spines. And the moment, like, one thing opposes him, he's like, all right, I'm running away.
Because I just have spines.
Yeah, that's all I can do.
That's how we got the term the animal. Because, you know, wild animal, the minute you, like, you know, stand up to it, it just runs away.
Yeah.
Yo, I saw a fucking leopard try and attack a badger. And that shit was
That was amazing. A mistake.
Yo, don't mess with badger.
The badger was like, I don't know who you thought you were messing with.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like,
it's like, I don't care what I have to lose. I'm going to do whatever it takes to fuck you up.
The leopard had it in its mouth at one point, and you think, like, it's a little badger. It's like, fuck this. It shook its way out and just started attacking the leopard. Yeah. And shit ran away. It was like, oh,
good. The badger was like, today is not a good day to die.
Oh. The one I'm liking right now is the Tony Baker one with the cat's balancing in the barn and a sheep comes up and he's like nuzzling with it and stuff. So the cat slaps him and he's like, oh, we're slapping people now. He just headbutts the cat like way off the left side of the frame. Like, just launches the cat in the air. All right. So anyways, when they don't have ideas for what to do, they go and get pie.
Yes.
That's how Kay deals with things.
You know, but like, That's like fat chat realness, though.
Yeah,
so it is. Like,
you know what? I need to think. Let me eat something so I can think.
I have to force a thought into my head, so let me force as much food into my body as I possibly can.
I think this is kind of where the movie started turning around for me, this scene. Because up to there, I'm like, I don't care about this at all. And I liked the diner scene. I thought, you know, it was pretty... I liked their conversation, you know... Kay at this point is willing to talk about his, you know, his life and, you know, stuff outside of work. So Jay's like, oh, this is really novel.
What happened to you?
He's like, I don't know. It hasn't happened yet. And then, of course, that's where they realize that he's going to be at a game. I forgot how it actually led here.
Griff had said. You know, only miracle moments like these don't happen often. You know, it's an amazing miracle. And then these two Mets fans walk into the diner.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
And he's like, oh, he's like, and he's like, yo, the Mets win this year. And Kay's like, whatever. They haven't won ever. Like, and he's like, no, this is a miracle year for them. Like, they're last place, first place, amazing. They call them the amazing Mets. Oh. So you got to let the pie work. And it works. Mm-hmm.
And this in 68 will be the two that all the Mets fans have clinged for forever.
Forever.
Yeah. Just like the Jets with... weren't the Jets also 69? I forget the year, but...
I forgot the year, too.
Yeah, Super Bowl III,
yeah. Anyway. They go to the... Shea Stadium, yeah, to go see the Mets game. There's no game on.
They had to CGI the stadium in because it was torn down, so they had CGI'd it.
Mm-hmm. So Griffin's standing there, you know, and they're like, how, you're watching the game. They don't win till October. He's like, it's always October somewhere.
Yeah, because like to him, everything has already happened and is going to happen at the same time. Mm. So he's like, yeah, I'm here and here it happened already. Like,
so
that's that's chaos.
This scene is sort of like, I imagine the writers were playing poker and they were anteing up.
Which writers?
What's that?
Which writers?
The writers that they hired for this movie, because they were like, fuck, we forgot to do a script.
Okay.
So then the writers were playing poker and they were anteing up lazy writing. Because like, they're like, all right, well, how did they get this ArcNet thing? It's like, I don't know. The guy has it right here. Cracker Jack box, baseball, done. And they're like, all right, well, how do we transition just into an action scene? The guy drives a fucking motorcycle down the aisle of a stadium. He just does this run-in on a fucking motorcycle. Like, how did you not see that?
They don't hear him coming.
The headlights on and everything.
How did you not hear it?
Yeah, like, okay, I'll give you he could have got that in there, but there's no way. Did he just walk it up the stadium? Like, how do you not hear that coming?
Like when Vigo stole Baby Oscar.
Yeah. I mean, and then he just rides it off the side of the stadium and smashes on top of their car, breaks their car.
So they could have saved that scene, like the disbelief for that.
Yep.
If it happened while he was showing them, because at one point he touches.
Yeah, like, that's
see,
true. Yeah, they
see what he's saying. And Will even says at one point, like, you see everything all the time, that must suck. And the guy's like, it sucks a whole lot. If he had said it's so disorienting and distracting, I can't tell what's happening. And then and then Duke came through. It's like, oh, okay.
Well, just at the in the middle of that, just give one quick glimpse of Boris, like maybe getting on the motorcycle or something, so you know, like, all right, he's sneaking up on him. So now they go out to their car. And they're like, I don't know, some kind of special effects are going to happen. We'll get a vehicle from here. And I flash back to the South Park episode of what comes out.
What was that called?
I think it was just called It.
Was it called It?
I think so. It had a really generic name.
I don't remember.
I'm just like, what part's going in their mouth? What part's going in their butt?
Yes. Oh, man. But anyway, this is just omni wheel kind of thing. Not like a motorcycle, but with one big wheel you sit in the middle of. Mm-hmm. And actually, I think someone's made that now. That's probably a thing now.
I mean, it's a gyroscopic,
motorcycle. I mean, they have them. I don't think you get too much of an advantage to that configuration.
Yeah. You don't get to go under 18-wheelers and
on
the side of walls.
Yeah, your power-to-weight ratio is awful.
There is a scene in this chase where they have to slide under a big rig that has crashed.
I flashed back to fucking Rajnikant when he slides the horse under the wheel.
What? What is look this?
It's so ridiculous. It's amazing.
If we could post that on the website, just a gif of that. So there's a classic Indian Bollywood like fight scene where superstar Rajnikant is riding a horse and all this shit's happening. Like, he's doing all this preposterous stuff and there's jeeps chasing him. And he's riding up to a flatbed truck, and it's perpendicular to him, and he's like, shit, like, I gotta, how am I getting around this truck? And he just, like, you see the horse go, like, and kind of lean over, and you just see this cheesy downward angle of him making an intense face and just sliding along the ground. And the horse literally just slides under the truck like a motorcycle, it's just back up on its feet, and he's going. And then the two jeeps fucking hit this truck and fly in the air like it's the A-Team and explode. It's amazing.
Okay. But this happens with this like one omni wheel. I'm like, but you're wider than the wheel is, so wouldn't you have been on the ground? I don't know, but whatever. Just let it go. Like,
yeah. So then, like, they shoot out like Boris's wheel or something, and then they do like a little trick move where they distract him. Yep, yeah, and they grab Griffin from him, and then shoot out the wheel to his bike, and it crashes in some really bad cheesy fireball. And of course, Boris just escapes. Like, he's just, I think at this point the editor is just working with him.
Yeah,
like he can enter and leave scenes at will. And then that's when we get the true ArcNet, which is inside Griffin's head. Because his head's hollow.
Yeah.
Yeah, why?
I don't know. I don't know.
I was totally expecting him to die at that point.
Like, yeah, me too.
Like, here is this. It's my life force.
I'm the last of my kind. We didn't do this when we got eliminated by his race of people. So I'm going to do this for you. Yeah, so you guys last. But nope.
Especially just because, like, two scenes later, he's just like, you don't need me anymore. I'm leaving.
Yeah, I'm just douching off now. Bye.
But so it's at this point where Jay's like, Kay, don't go. You're going to die there. And Kay's like, I'm going to punch you, and I'm going to punch you again. First one was for lying to me. Second one's for telling me the truth. And Kay's basically just like, wait a minute. Like, this worked. Like, I was there with you in the future. Let's just go do it.
Let's do that. Like, whatever that was, let's go do that. So I'm there again. Like,
but where is it and how does it happen? Wait. The moon launch?
Yeah,
this date and time was the moon launch? I mean, I know I've worked for this Men in Black that deals with alien interactions every single day, but the moon launch was this date in history?
Yeah, the catch is they have to get the ArcNet into space somehow. Mm-hmm. Like, how are we going to do that? And that's the moon launch. Like,
yep. So let's go get some jetpacks.
Yeah, let's do that. Mm-hmm. The most cumbersome idiotic.
Could we just have had a teleporter?
I can see what they're trying to do. They're trying, you know, yeah. They're obviously trying to be like technology in the 60s was so large and cumbersome, but
I guess
it's not, it'd be funny if it was working, but it's not working.
They basically just got on Daleks and rode those.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And Griffin and just hops on the back.
Yeah. Like you would think being in the 60s and stuff, like big cars was a thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Big fast cars was a thing, you know, America. Like, so you think they would just have a big fast car that can get you there? That, like, mm-hmm. like Jay even says, yeah, we have a car in the future that you just hit a button and hyperdrive, we just get there. Like, it just happens. Yeah. And they're like, oh, no, we don't have that yet. Like,
be cool if they had like the prototype of that, and it was like, you know, showed the first version of that or something.
Yeah, you could have made like a gas guzzling joke, like maybe it doesn't have the fuel range to get there because it's so heavy, something like that. I don't know. Either way, they fly to Cape Canaveral on some jetpacks. They get stopped at the gate, and this is when Griffin's like, yeah, you have to tell the truth for this to work.
Which I get, because him telling the truth makes them get arrested by the MP that are there.
Yep.
Which makes them the colonel shows up to talk to them.
Luke Cage,
Michael Coulter.
Yep.
And then at this point, Griff shows the colonel. He touched the colonel so you can see the timeline that he needs to see.
Colonel Carl Lucas.
And then he changes his mind. The colonel's like, let them go. Yeah. I'll take care of them.
So at what point in this did you get the Shyamalan-style twist that happens here? Like, because it was right here for me.
Oh, and I'm like, I knew that was going to happen. The minute that you see Coulter show up, I go, yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Only because, like, they weren't subtle about how they put the stuff in early in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, they forced you on some things in the movie. I'm like, why is that there? That's weird. Why would they say that? Oh, okay, that's why.
Yeah. So, I got to be honest. At this point in the movie, I thought, because I didn't remember seeing the movie at all, I thought Will Smith's character had to die.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I thought he was going to be like brought back by some dumb MacGuffin afterwards, but I thought he had to die in exchange for Agent K.
Which, and during the scene, Will asks Griffin, he's like, what did you show him? He goes, I just showed him what he needed to see to go along with you. And then Will's like, you know, I got to change it so that, in the future of this, mm-hmm. does Kay live or whatever? He goes, yeah, but like where there's death, there's always going to be death. So he leaves it open, like, oh, someone has to die during this, so someone's going to die,
and not just, well, yeah, the bad guy's going to die.
Yeah, no.
So what I actually thought was going to happen, in regards to one of the agents dying, is I thought that Kay was going to die, but what I thought was going to happen was that Tommy Lee Jones was going to show up and he's going to be like, yeah, so you came back to save me and you die and I come back to save you, you know, and then it's like one of us has to die, so I'm saving you, you know, I'll die, and then, you know, something like that. Give it a little twist there where like one of them's got to go.
Come with me if you want to live, Slick.
Yeah, because it's like he can say like, this is like the 30th time we've done this, like it doesn't, you know, one of us always has to go. Yeah.
I found out when I was looking on the Wikipedia and it said Mike Coulter plays Will Smith's dad. I was like, damn it, the twist is ruined.
Yeah. All right, so Griffin's like, I don't need to be here anymore, I'm out.
Yeah.
They go through the tunnel to the launch pad.
It's like there's literally no script after this point, so I'm just gonna hang out here, I guess.
Bye. Yeah. and then they're having a nice conversation when, you know, as they're going up the launch pad, you know, on the elevator to get to the top of the Apollo rocket. And Boris uses his true special power, which is just to appear whenever the fuck he wants, and just yanks Jay out of the friggin' elevator. And they're fighting. And Jay immediately loses his gun.
Yeah.
And now there are two animal Boris.
Yeah, there's two Borises, yep. There's Future Boris and Easy Rider Boris.
Yeah, one has two arms, one has one.
Yep. One has shades.
So basically, like, Kay's fighting past Boris and Jay's fighting Future Boris. And Future Boris kills Jay, but then he uses the time thingy. Well, he like tackles him off the edge of the launch pad. It uses the time jump thing to go back And now he's like, I remember exactly where your shots are going to be so I can dodge them. It's like, motherfucker, it's not like he's going to just aim the same way every time. Like, he's going to adjust how you move. Like, that's not how that shit works.
But that's how he works, though.
Yeah. Oh, but we find out about that whole the animal thing. It gets Boris to stop focusing on trying to kill Kay and focus on Jay.
Which, again, because Jay goes, you know, Boris the animal looking, he's like, it's just Boris, and then it pisses him off, and like it makes him, like, you know, like Joe said, stop focusing on Kay and on him, and so he does it you know, a couple times, like, animal. But like, there's no, they don't show you why it makes him mad. So it makes no sense. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately, if you think about it, what the minute the future Boris rips Jay out of the elevator, those two don't need to be in the movie at all.
Yeah.
Nothing they do affects anything else in the movie. Like that. Mm-hmm. Everything else that happens just because it's just past Jay and past Boris.
Yeah.
Just them doing their thing.
So, I mean, my theory is that when he was little, he bared a striking resemblance to Baby Animal from the Muppet Babies. Mm-hmm. And maybe his classmates picked on him for that.
Okay.
So they just called him Animal all the time. And that really affected him growing up.
I don't know why, just at that second when you said Baby Animal, my mind just went Baby Shark. Baby Shark. And it's stuck in my head now.
You're welcome.
Fuck.
Why?
Have you heard this song?
I know of the song.
Don't listen to it.
But I'm not a child.
Yep.
Shut up. I'm not physically a child.
Okay, all right.
I was going to say I don't spend my time on YouTube watching childish videos. Yeah, okay. So let me dial it back a little bit and say that I have absolutely nothing to say. Well, I've heard of that.
Yeah. I used your time jumper there.
I did. I jumped off my table.
Yeah.
And 2 feet
just
before.
Fell off the chair.
Too many margaritas.
Two inches before I hit the floor. I pressed the little button.
All right, so then, Kay just shoots past Boris's arm off, and he's just gone from the film. Like, I guess he got arrested. I don't know.
No, he comes back.
Oh, wait, no, you're right. He does come back. Never mind. All right, and then, they run out of there, out of the launch area, and you see future Boris gets incinerated by the launch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so then...
Colonel was there to get Kay out of the escape zip line.
That's what it was. Yeah, they took the zip line, and Jay's kind of hanging back, you know, in the distance.
And at this point, I'm like, okay, everything's done. Why don't you just jump off and time travel back to the
especially because you're already on a high
right? Yeah, place.
And
you already did it once.
And Griffin told him what as soon as Kay blows the guy's arm off. You're good. Just leave.
Yeah, just get out of there.
Yeah.
Just leave.
Specifically says, leave after his arm.
Just leave.
Yeah. Don't stick around. Don't screw anything up.
He pushed away. When Jay walks away, he's like, I always hate this part. So you're like, oh, okay. I know it's going to happen for real. Like.
So what does happen? Basically, the colonel takes a spike, and then Kay shoots past Boris and kills him.
Yeah, he splatters past Boris. It's the first go around. He didn't kill past Boris. This time he does kill past Boris.
So both Borises are dead. And who was in the van with the colonel?
A little black kid.
Mm-hmm.
Just in the van.
Young James.
Yeah. Young like James. My first thought is one. He's like, "Where's my daddy?" I'm like, "Yo, he's on the ground right there." Like,
yeah.
You saw him got spiked.
It's not
by
like
that
he got moved. He's just got a spike sticking out.
He's on the ground 5 feet. Yeah. You dumbass kid. Like, he's right there. Like, stop asking where your daddy is. He's dead right there. But like, my other question was like, I get that being a colonel, he has some privileges to be bring people on the base when he wants to, but why in the van that close to the exhaust would he bring his kid to watch the launch? It doesn't make any sense.
I don't know.
That makes no sense. Like, I don't.
It's just lazy writing. They're like, just put him there somewhere.
All right.
So now.
Well, plus, in 2012, wouldn't that make Will Smith like 50 years old or something?
No, because it's 40. He was actually born in 69. So he would have been 46. He's 40. Wait, I don't know how much. No,
and then, no, because James was already like 5 or 6. Or
yeah,
whatever.
He was, because he was like several years old.
He was near 50, yeah.
That makes sense.
But that's not that far off. He, because this would be, so 40 years would be 09. So that'd be 2012. So 43 years in 2012. So plus 4 or 5. He was probably 4.
Yeah, he can be. I thought he was more like 5. Either way, he's like damn near 50.
Late 40s. Yeah. He's past 45.
Yeah.
Will Smith, when this movie came out, was past 45, wasn't he?
He was born in 69.
Yeah. So yeah. Okay. So right. It's not that far off.
Yeah. Like. Okay.
All right, so
they did good work. Damn it!
Enough of,
even though they wrote it, you know, at the while they were filming,
we gotta
it,
make sure the years line up.
I think I already know the answer to this, but we gotta get to some important questions.
Yes, dear.
All right, so he goes back to the top of the Chrysler Building. You know, does the time jump again? He's back on top of the Chrysler Building. Start hearing that song about New York. Start playing. Did you sing Making Bacon Pancakes?
Yes.
Rob did.
Okay.
Rob did.
I totally did too.
Rob did.
Just anytime I hear that. Making pancakes, making bacon pancakes.
Take some bacon and you put it in a pancake.
Making pancakes.
But yeah, like, that's... Oh, then now that this movie... That's the end of the movie, kind of. And,
kind
of. Well, because there's another, you know, kids go back and see if Kay's alive.
Mm-hmm.
And Kay is alive singing the New York song. Mm-hmm. He's like, how the fuck do you know that song? You like country and shit. He's like, I know things. Like, what?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, huh?
But then they don't really explain, like, so was Kay, like, so aware of...
Yeah, so
of,
who raised Jay?
And like, was he aware of him this whole time? And, like, he knew who he was in the first one, you know?
And so, Jay brings out the watch. He's like, I remember what you our conversation about, you know, don't ask questions you don't even know. And I had the chance till he puts a watch on the table. Like, I've learned some things that, you know, I think you were right. And like, basically saying, I'm sorry I pushed you, but like, thank you for protecting me or whatever. Yeah.
Did Ra's al Ghul raise him in the, like, Himalayas or what? Like, what's going on?
Who knows?
Yeah. And supposedly that's the reason why Kay has been so walled off about just in general, is because that what happened to Jay's dad made him really sad. Mm. He's had to live with that his whole life. But the first movie, in movie number one, when he tries to recruit Jay, like when he finds out this guy chased down whatever kind of alien, and that's he does a research. He researches the guy's name.
Yep.
Makes no mention of, like, oh,
that he raised him.
Yeah, like,
yeah,
like, responsible for his dad's death,
surrogate father.
Yeah, like,
was it just a coincidence? It's like, oh shit, it's this kid.
Yeah, like, how do you know?
This kid might be a gifted or an enhanced or whatever it's called.
Yeah, like,
father was Carl
this
Lucas.
This is the part when the writers on Doctor Who just go, like, come on, guys,
just
come on,
just
what are you doing?
All right, so now we get this joke. Of, I guess, your Griffin's like, oh, I like this part. Oh, no, this is the one where he forgot to tip. So you see, like, a meteor is barreling towards Earth. I'm like, fucking end it.
Fucking that's what I thought. It. I was like, oh, the Earth is going to implode on
us. That would be great. Just that's how the franchise ends. I'd be like, yes. And then, no, he comes back and he puts the tip down. So you see the meteor hits the asteroid from the beginning.
It's a satellite.
Yeah, not the asteroid. Satellite. And then that's the one they were, you know, talking about in the beginning of the movie. And then, bam, movie over.
Yeah. And the meteorite that size would have gone
right through that thing.
Well, no, it would have felt that satellite.
Like, it would have fucked up that block. Because by the time the atmosphere would have, like, been down.
Oh, it would have been tiny.
Yeah, it would have, like, that block would have, so they would have died, you know, a good, you know, 3 mile radius around, you know, would have been fucked up, but the world would have been fine. Like,
It's still a, you know, it's still an impact.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, it wouldn't have broken up when it hit the
correct
satellite.
Correct.
Yeah.
But that is Men in Black 3.
All right. So Rotten Tomatoes gave this movie 67.
Mm-hmm.
The average people gave this movie a 70. They're about around the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
How do you feel about that, Rob?
How do I feel about it? I think this is a little high. I'd give this movie a C-/D+.
That's a 67, 70.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what that
All
is.
Right.
All right. So, yeah.
Apparently, I spent too much time outside of the American school system. I mean, it's watchable, but there's no reason to watch this movie. There's really not any, like, I can't think of a single reason why I would sit down and be like, I want to watch Men in Black 3 today. And even in my opinion, I think Men in Black 2 is more, at least more memorable for me, maybe only because I've seen it multiple times. But I'm going to say this is a pass. I mean, there are cool elements to this movie, but there's really nothing there to, like, bring you in or make you want to watch it. So I'm going to say pass.
All right. What's your Joe?
So, it was probably because I was really tired when I watched this movie last night and I started watching it fairly late. But this movie was able to achieve that state where my brain, excuse me, just shuts off and I stop asking questions. So I really didn't like it at first. I'm like, I really don't want to watch this movie. And then around when he went back in the past, I started liking it. And by the end, I'm like, oh, you know, I feel pretty good after that movie. But now, after, like, reading back my notes and discussing it, it's sort of like, you know, like, the Flash's powers are cool, but if you listen to somebody talk about all the things the Flash can do with his powers, it's kind of embarrassing. You're just like, no, you run fast. You can't do that. This is the Speed Force. It's like, fuck you. It's like that. Like, this movie was so lazily written. Just, and
it was not written.
Not written. Yeah. So, I guess they worked hard at the last minute to put this together because of some lazy writers. So, bottom line, like Rob said, it's passable, but it's one of those ones you gotta just not pay attention. And just, there's a lot of times where you just have to be like, that happens, I guess, whatever. If you start asking questions during this, the whole thing just falls apart. And as such, I don't think I'm ever going to watch it again, but I think most people could achieve some enjoyment from this. So I guess I will recommend it.
All right, Will, what about you?
So like I said at the beginning of the podcast, this movie just really wanted me to rewatch the first one, the first Men in Black, so I might do that at some point this week. But as far as this one goes, I think I kind of fall in line with the Rotten Tomatoes score, like 67, you know, like C-. The young Josh Brolin playing the young K was really entertaining, and Will Smith has enough charisma where you can get some enjoyment out of his performance, but I probably won't watch it anytime soon. So not a hard pass, but say light pass.
Okay. All right. I will not give this a pass. It's not offensive in any kind of way. It's not trash, or, you know, there's some things that you know, are that are just awful, but, like, it's not enough for me to say someone else should watch this. Like, I don't think if someone's like, oh, I'm gonna go watch, you know, Men in Black 3, I'm not gonna be like, no, no! I'm be like, eh.
Like, if you really want to, I guess.
Want to, like,
you're that excited.
Whatever. Like, but so I can't tell someone, like, you know, go, you know, you know what? Take an hour and 50 minutes out of your life and, you know, sit down and cuddle up with a loved one or someone you hate. And I'm sorry. I can't. I'll never watch this again. There were no clips that I think are worth going on YouTube to see. Like, I'd rather watch, like, Flight of the Conchords and just see Jermaine in his element for real. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not feeling it. Will Smith had a couple funny jokes. Josh Brolin is like he was a convincing Tommy Lee Jones playing K. Like, he studied that man. You could tell he got all his mannerisms down. Mm-hmm. You can tell he put work into this.
Oh, he did. He did his job. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was definitely the strongest part of this movie.
Yeah, but everything else was like just bleh. Like, I can't in good conscience be like, yeah, go watch this.
You know what? I would say the movie, it's lazy, but it's harmless.
Yeah, it's harmless. It's not lazy at all.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I'm recommending it, just because it's like, it's not going to piss you off, but it's not going
to
do anything for you.
It's a unique situation we're in.
Right.
Where Joe is the only one to recommend a film.
No, you guys did.
No. You no, did? When I said pass, I mean pass on the movie. No. Oh. No, this movie gets a pass.
I mean, I thought you were saying pass.
No.
Pass.
No, I meant
pass on it.
No, don't. It's three no's and
Joe. I don't know. Maybe it's just because I've had the summer off.
That's okay. I mean, you
don't. Because usually it's the three you guys.
You are usually pretty staunchly against most of what we sit here and watch. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that's fine. We're all allowed to have.
Yeah.
That's what makes the world go around. But,
you know, because there wasn't anything in this movie that made me mad.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
Like, if they had used, say,
like, the door scene kind of made me that made me mad, but it was so forgettable.
The door scene? Which one?
The door scene. Down
what
the
I'm talking about. Exactly.
So that's true.
It's just one of those ones where somehow it's like, forget, don't worry about it.
When I think of that, my brain automatically goes to the Wolverine movie with the Gambit, the whole Gambit scene. Isn't there like a big alleyway thing?
That I haven't watched that. We saw it here.
You haven't watched
it? I wasn't there for that episode, and I'm not going to watch that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
He wasn't there for that?
No, he wasn't there when you went on a Hugh Jackman Dick Jackman's
our
dick.
Our world famous Hugh Jackman.
A whole hour Hugh Jackman.
Just robbing the corner talking about a dick for an hour.
The other guys left. Like,
he turned his mic off. Like, he's kept going. Like,
you just hear it through years.
I would be interested if they made a 4. Like, it wasn't bad enough for me to not see Men in Black 4.
A Netflix Men in Black TV show. Yeah,
that could be sweet.
That doesn't have JFK. I just want, like, the Alien universe. Comes to Earth, deals with Men in Black. Maybe.
Wasn't there a cartoon?
Yeah, the cartoon was
There
sick.
Was a cartoon.
There was a cartoon.
Maybe agents investigating, like, a crime scene or something, and then you get the story of what happened there.
Do you think that could be a Rip Torn revival? Kind of the same, like, you know how RDJ like came back with Iron Man. You think
what did he go to jail for?
I don't know.
Drugs. RDJ was drugs.
No, Rip Torn.
Oh, Rip Torn was being crazy on drugs.
Okay.
So I mean, yeah, you know.
Oh, he's still alive. For some reason, I thought he was dead. His Wikipedia picture is insane.
That's Rip Van Winkle.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's a drug face.
Yeah. Like so many drugs. Like all the drugs.
Patches of Hawaiian.
Poopy flavored lollipop.
Someone is talking about doing a 4, and I think Will Smith is trying to get his son to be.
Mm. Yeah, because you know what you want to do when you do something like that? Get the most uncharismatic human being possible to be in your alien sci-fi fantasy.
You know, like I don't like James Smith or whatever, but like he has a market and like he's making money and he's like doing his thing. Sure. So whatever, like people like it, whatever. Like,
right. I want somebody to cut in that scene from After Earth at the dinner table where Jaden Smith comes in a room and he's like, "Can I be in the new Men in Black movie?" And Will Smith's just like, "Denied."
See, I never saw After Earth. So.
Yeah, no,
okay. No. It's just out of place. Sean
$20, guys.
But no, I think a Netflix show could, you know, one of those kind of series where you get like the behind the scenes Men in Black kind of stuff, whatever.
Yeah.
Or the one guy who's been he's managed to never be neuralized. People don't realize he hasn't been neuralized. Like, and then someone finds out here, and they're like, "Oh, what does he know?" And they chase him down and see what he knows. And, anyway,
I mean, they're going to have to do something once Disney pulls all their stuff off.
Oh, I know.
They're going to have nothing left.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's Men in Black 4. It's time for us to make our roll for next movie, right?
Yeah, yeah.
D&D, the D20 of Fate time, right?
D20 of Fate. We're dusting it off, bringing it out of retirement.
It's been so long. We've missed you.
Like Michael Jordan all those times.
We've missed you. So, how do you want to do this one? I'll be the one to roll.
Yeah, go ahead and roll.
Yeah, roll that shit. Let's
give it a first roll for our...
We'll Men in Black 3 it. We'll make it up as we go.
Yeah, no ending. Just
that's right.
Cut the podcast.
And if the movie sucks, I'm going to jump off the table and 2 feet from the ground. We'll go back and re-roll it.
Yeah. So just as a reminder, what we do now is we re-roll a D20, and what it rolls determines what on our list we'll watch next. If it's a 1, we watch something that's god awful, atrocious from our fail list. And if it's 20, we get to pick whatever you want to watch, like whatever movie that's not on the list, whatever you want to watch,
which might still be god awful.
Totally.
Depending on who rolls the 20.
So I'm rolling this week. So let's make this roll.
That's a 20. It's a 20. Holy crap.
Wow. It's a 20.
It's been charging that shit up.
We are coming back in full force.
It's a 20.
All right.
Oh, man, I don't even know what my 20 movies were. I had them written down somewhere.
Man, oh, man. Well, I mean, your heart tells you, right?
Oh, man.
I'm going to eat a Dorito.
Yeah.
Your heart tells you want a Dorito.
I mean.
Rob's heart tells him that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
no.
Please stop.
Tells me the opposite. Just please stop.
That's your gastrointestinal tract.
Oh, now I'm stumped. All right. I kind of want to say Jurassic Park because we haven't done it.
You can say whatever you want.
It's time. It's time.
It's your 20, man.
Yeah.
I think it's time to do Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park? All right.
I think.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Let's do it. Jurassic Park.
All right.
All right, guys. So, So join us next time for Jurassic Park. 25 years ago that movie came out.
Wow.
Way better CG than this film we just watched.
We are old.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, I was 12 when that came out. But in the meantime, thank you so very much for listening. Thank you so much for supporting us even while we were gone. We really do appreciate it. If you like what you heard, consider subscribing. We have a new episode whenever we make them. For our episode archive, for our merch store, which you should really check out, and more information about the podcast, you can go to our website at 4ampodcast.podbean.com. If you have any questions, comments, or whatever, you can follow us on Twitter or Facebook at 4ampodcast. And of course, you can email us at the4ampodcast@gmail.com. Anything else you guys would like to add?
Men in Black franchise, favorite thing about it, the ride at Universal.
I never went on it.
I had a fast pass or whatever they call it, easy pass or whatever they call it in Universal. But I went on that motherfucker like 6 times in a row.
I don't remember it being that great.
You had guns. Did you go on? You can shoot at stuff.
Yeah, but did you go on the Mummy?
No, I don't think the Mummy was there when I was there.
It was there. It's been there for years. You've been at Universal more recently than I have.
It's 2011. It was there around then.
Yeah, it's still there now.
Oh, I guess I just didn't go on it.
It's super legit.
Okay.
It's a really good ride.
Tom Cruise the Mummy.
It's not Tom Cruise the Mummy. It's Brendan Fraser the Mummy.
Oh, that's a deal breaker.
I'm changing my 20. We're watching. No, I'll play it.
The failed Universal Monsters franchise.
Oh my gosh.
Better
than the failed DC Universe franchise. All right, everybody. Yeah. Pacow. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of. Hey, Rob.
Yes.
Come here.
Yeah.
Come here, Rob.
Yeah.
That's for talking shit about me during the Godzilla episode. $5. Fuck you.
Why'd you have to slap my dick, Joe?
Because that's the only thing on your body you care about.
That's true. It's the only thing I don't pack with snacks.
I'm uncomfortable.
And on that note, let's draw this episode to a close.
I've been Rob.
Brian.
Joe.
Will, thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, thanks for coming, Will.
Deuces.
And I'm Duke Silver, getting ready to spray hot jazz all over your faces.
I'm running away. Adios.
Bye, guys.